Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
I'm really excited about the weekend, and I'm kind of sad that I only get one more chance right now to announce something that I'm excited to announce and talk about. Our church is about to enter in an exciting season of expansion. And so we currently have three locations, including our online campus. But our vision is that we would have many locations. This is our sand and stars, you know, vision, just to, as a church, to open up Champion Centers all around the region of the Great Northwest. So we imagine, like, if you want to know what are we thinking about, what's our vision, well, here you go. We imagine Champion Centers in communities like Kent, 100,000 population. We see Champion Center in places like Kent, places like Bonnie Lake, places like Auburn. Hey, Seattle, 700,000 people live in Seattle. And we're wondering about and thinking about and curious about, would the Lord have us be there? And if so, what does that look like? And when will we go? And maybe some of you today, you're like, well, what about my town? Yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to fire it up. Gig Harbor. And what, on the count of three, shout out where you would like to see a Champion Center. Are you ready? One, two, three. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So here's our big announcement this week. We secured a space for our next location to be opening in 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Drum roll. We are coming to the city of DuPont. Yeah, 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 yeah. Wow. If you look at the graphic, you see all the communities around it, and we've just thrown a very conservative number up there just to tell you, you might wonder why. Well, right around that area in easy access, there's at least 130,000 people. Again, really conservative number. We could have gone as high as 200,000 on that one, but we're excited, and I want to show you a picture of the building that we have today. This is our building. This is our location. Okay, I gotta admit to you, we photoshopped the icon and the people. Hey, without a vision, you perish, right? So we see people coming there. So we just put them in the mix, you know? We see a big sign on the building, Champion Center is our spot, you know? So anyway, those are photoshopped in. But the building is real. It exists. And this is the location. If you want to write it down and go pray circles around it and pray God's favor on it, this is the location. There you go. Right off Interstate 5. Ladies and gentlemen, coming soon to DuPont, Washington. Never to be the same again. Anybody excited with me? I'm so pumped. Wow, 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 wow. So I know many of you would wonder today, wow, it's interesting. You go into different communities. What all is involved in that process? I thought I'd show you really quickly a little bit of what we have to go through. We've got the word campus pastor there, and it really could be multiple. But just to kind of give you an idea, when we launch a location, these are the things that we need. And let me just skip around a little bit and say campus pastor, worship teams and leaders and children's leaders and teams. And over there we've got the team, the whole, you know, from ushers and greeters and welcomers and everything that we do. It takes a team to be a Champion Center. We are team church, right? So I want to just say before I move on to the other items, keep that up if you would today, but that's why LeadX, you're going to hear more about LeadX. It is a new, starting right after the first of the year, we are launching our new development training for leaders. If you have a call of God on your life, then we want you. We're looking for you. And LeadX is the doorway to come in and to intern with us at Champion Center. And to also, if college is in the mix, you want Bible, and you need Bible college, and not, we are partnering with Northwest College. So we ain't playing around. That's not good grammar, but we ain't playing around. We're creating pipelines of people who are ready and to go whenever we have a new location. But I also put on there, of course, we need the location, the venue before you can go. We need finances and people to support and give to the vision of the house. We need a strategy, not only an entry strategy, but believe it or not, an exit strategy. What if the place gets too little? What if we have to have more parking? What if we got to go to, you know, we have to think about all of that, and we bathe it all in prayer. That's a little bit of how we process through for those of you who may be interested. But we are excited, and man, you'll hear more about it, and we'll tell you more how to find out information. But if you have friends that live in DuPont, even if you're up in Bellevue, you may have family, friends over in DuPont, let them know we're on our way. There were people texting in Saturday night service, texting family members and saying, hey, guess what? You've been saying it's too far to drive to church. Well, we're coming to you now, you know? So anyway, it's gonna be great. Are you guys ready for the word today? You're ready for the word? Say with me, my heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God. By your word. I receive it. I believe it. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name. We are talking on the topic of sand and stars. Sand and stars. We're in a series on this, and it's based on the story of a man named Abram who was living with a dream in his heart. And hopefully in this series, we are stirring up the dreams and the vision that God puts in our lives. And we're getting better focused on what is it that God has planned for me. And hopefully we're liberating people, actually, not just to look in, but to look up and to look out and to think about, you know, maybe there's people who have had lids put on your vision in your life. And hopefully in the series, we're stirring that up inside of everyone. Because if you're here, if you're breathing, God's not done with you yet. Okay? I said God's not done with you yet. There's a plan. There's a purpose in you being here. So Abram's dream, the sand and stars in his life, is that he would have a family that would become a great tribe of people. People who would have faith in God. People who would serve God with all their heart. People who would just fill the earth and multiply. They would become so large in number that they would be like the sand on the beach and the stars in the sky. He dreamed that he would have a powerful, lasting legacy that would impact the world. What a dream. What a dream. Like from one guy, basically a nomad, wandering around, like kind of like, you know, just trying to figure out, God, what do you have for me? He locked onto this vision and he wouldn't let go. And he saw his children's children impacting the world for many generations to come. You may be wondering, well, what happened to his dream? How'd it go? Well, hear me out if you don't know this. If you're a Christ follower today, you are sons and daughters of Abraham. The dream had incredible significance and long-lasting power. We are the dream that God placed in his heart. We are the sand and the stars. And he is today the father of all who believe, all who are ambitious God followers who walk by faith, not by sight. We are the sand and stars. Amen? So backtrack, and I want to go to Genesis 22, and that's where we're going to begin or start today in our message. But many years, Abram and his wife had no children. We've talked about that in the last few weeks. And finally, Isaac was born. And Abraham was crazy about Isaac. I mean, can you imagine, like, the first child, like, first son, like, he embodied the hope, the dreams, the sand, the stars. And then something crazy, like something really bizarre happened. Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son who you love, your only son, your promises, your hopes, your vision, your dream, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there. As a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you." And early the next morning, not a month later, not 6 weeks later, not like, "Hey, God, hang on just a minute, I ain't going to do that right now." Early the next morning, Abraham got up. He set out for the place God had told him about. Now, I read that and I'm thinking, wow, like, phew. Because I don't know about you, but I would be like, God, like, what are you talking about? Can you, like, explain this? Maybe you guys today have found this out. God doesn't offer explanations. When we want them, even, like, we want explanation, and God's like he speaks in sound bites. He's like, "Go, come, stay, wait." And we're like, "Why?" Anybody like that here? Like, it's just like, oh, we want explanation. We want to know more. We want information, right? And if you're a dreamer especially, and you have these God-inspired hopes, visions, and dreams, faith pictures in your heart, then you know, you just know what this is like sometimes. But I want to pause, and I want to talk a little bit about it from this standpoint. If you're taking notes today, I want to tell you that there's no doubt about this number one element I'm going to talk about, and that is that you have to go all in for sand and stars. You have to go, everybody shout, all in.
All in.
Say it again, all in.
All in.
One more time, say it, all in.
All in.
If you are a dream chaser, if you are pursuing the hope and the dream and the vision that God puts in your life, whatever that might be, make no doubt about it. You have to go all in. And if you think maybe what he talked to Abraham about that day and what he said to him, like, "That's not fair, God, that's cruel." Well, back up just a minute. I agree, it sounds really barbaric and crazy and cruel. But let me just tell you, this is what God did himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So he wasn't telling Abraham to do something he wasn't doing himself. He went all in, somebody shout all in, so that whosoever believes in him, which is the dream of God, might not perish but have everlasting life. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Like, yep, starting to get it a little bit. This is what Jesus did. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, Christ loved the church. And he gave himself, somebody, talk to me. He went what? All in. Loved the church so much, he gave himself for it. And here we are today, the sand and the stars. He didn't hold back. God doesn't hold back. God goes all in. And you may not want to hear me say this today, but I'm here to help you, right? I'm not here to make you happy or to please you. I'm here to help you. God won't bless a half-hearted effort. Yeah. God can't bless indecisiveness. God can't bless when we're one day going this way and the next day we change our direction and we're going another direction and we're always doing that. Now, I'm not saying you don't grow and learn and rethink things and back up and do it differently. I'm not talking about that. Methods always change, but vision remains. And when you're constantly indecisive and you're not set on where you're going, but you're asking God to bless it, the first thing you got to do is you got to know what it is. Because God doesn't bless half-heartedness. He doesn't bless indecisiveness. He can't bless when we're giving like 30% of our effort into something. So if you're here this weekend and you're not really sure and you're not fully committed to the plan that God has for you right now, maybe you're here. In fact, I would dare say that many of you are really not sure about fully committing your life to Christ. And you are, it was cute what Jordan mentioned on the video today, you go to church and you judge. And, you know, it's normal, right? But when do you come out of, like, inspecting everyone else and go all in? Because you can't have the life God has for you sitting in the bleachers of life and judging everything and critiquing everything and waiting for something to happen and the other shoe to fall. And if this happens, then I'll do that. And I'm waiting for that. And I don't want to really go here. I don't want to go strong here because I might lose this friend and they may not like what I'm going to do. And I don't want to. You can't do that and expect God to bless. Man, I could close my Bible right now, walk away, and just leave it there. Like, I feel like dropping the mic right now. But the Bible says that, by the way, guys. The Bible says, like, really clearly in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord. Not for just, well, that's my boss. My boss said that. Whatever you do, wherever you are, and I want to tell some of you who are employees right now, but you dream of having your own business, right where you are, give it everything you have right now. Like, you don't go to work half-heartedly and do a half-hearted job and be praying on the side, God, open up the door, bless me, my own business, and meanwhile, doing as little as you can do to get by where you are. Everything God gives you an opportunity at, give it everything you have. Work at it with all of your heart. If God opens a door, walk in that door. Give it everything. Come on, be the hardest worker at your company. Number two, you're not created to play it safe. You're not created to play it safe. And this is something in Christianity that we got to sort out. And I haven't said this in any other services, but I know a lot of people. I'm so excited for all the people, and we're going to celebrate you Wednesday night, who have gone through our Financial Peace University. And it ended. God bless you guys. Like, awesome. I don't want to get off on the track. It's just cool to see all that happening. But now I'm going to come along, and I'm going to say to you, that you're not built to play it safe. And you're like, well, wait a minute, I'm hearing about all this, like, tear up credit cards, get out of the, you know, da-da. No, here's the point. That's a daring plan. As much as you might see it as getting, like, it's not meant for you to crawl in a little hole and hold on to everything you have. It's meant to prepare you for a future that is bold and daring and generous. All around the waterfront here in the Seattleland area, we have marinas where boats are docked. And if you were to walk up and down those, you know, those docks, you would see a lot of boats out there. Like, they're docked in the harbor, and they're small boats, big boats, row boats, fishing boats, sailboats, yachts, all of the above. But they have one thing in common, and that is that the harbor that they're in is not what they were built to be in. None of those boats are built for the harbor. The harbor is the safest place for them to be, but they belong out on the water. They belong out in the wind. Come on, they belong out there crossing the waves, going somewhere. Can we talk today? And you are the same way. You're not built for the harbor. And some people want to get in a harbor and stay in a harbor. You want to get your two or three friends and hang out with your two or three friends, and it's really comfy, and we sip coffee, and we have all our babies together, and we don't, none of that matters. You know, well, it's not, it does matter. You're not built to stay in a harbor. You're built to have faith pictures in your heart. You're built by God to go somewhere with your life. You're built to dream. You're built to have vision. You are created to be part of the creative process of God. You're built to do that. You're not built to get in a harbor and wait for God to do everything. You're built to obey God, to get out there, to take on the challenge, to travel somewhere. Come on, to have a vision, have a dream. And yes, the world can be a wild. Everybody shout wild.
Wild.
Can we all just say this? It's wild out there.
It's wild.
It is a wild. Streets are wild. City's wild. It's wild. People are wild. I mean, I know it could be a crazy place, like unpredictable, right? Okay, scary. Let's get it out on the table. It can be scary. Okay, now that we got that out of the way. Even though it's wild, even though it's crazy, even though it can feel scary, yes, you're going to have resistance. Yes, you're going to have adversity. Yes, you're going to have people let you down. Yes, you're going to have and experience injustice. Yes, there's going to be winds, there's going to be storms, there's going to be opposition. You're not created by God to play it safe. You were designed and you were built and you are stronger than you think you are to get out on the open waters. And I know some of you right now, this is like new to you, like, ooh, you're freaking out a little bit. Okay, if something about your boat is hurt, come to the harbor, let's get it repaired. Let's fix it. God bless you. That's what a harbor is for, but you're not meant to stay in the harbor. Get the boat repaired. Get your brain fixed. Get your heart healed. And get back out there in the wild and the adventure. Come on, and in the challenge. Somebody clap your hands right now. Come on, somebody. Anybody gonna clap? By faith, I get it, I get it, I get it, I get it. So let me talk to you about us as a church and how we've been brought here together to do something for God that is big and to think big on behalf of the kingdom of God. Next weekend is our legacy offering weekend. We've been doing this for over 30 years. We're calling it a giving party. And people are already, you know, some people don't want to wait like till then. So they've started and we've even asked a few people, hey, open up the door. You can give early if you want to, etc. But this year, we did approach our legacy offering differently by putting out, I love this whole idea, and you're going to hear why in a minute, but we put out envelopes in our lobbies and so forth around our campuses, and the envelopes are numbered 1 to 1,500. Okay, 1 to 1,500. So 1,500 envelopes out there. And if we were to give the amount on those envelopes, we would reach our Sand and Stars vision as a church of over $1 million. Over $1 million. In one offering. The envelopes are meant to get us looking at the same goal, to help us be like-minded. That's what it's not about the envelopes. It's just a method, it's a way for people to look at what what could I do? How could I be a part? And get every one of us individually asking, how can we do this together? Like, so looking at an envelope is meant, whether you've done it or not, I'm just gonna tell you why we're doing it, all right? We're doing it so that as you're stirred to be a part and you say, I wanna be a part, I don't wanna just be a spectator, then you get in a place and a space and a spot and you go, what can I give? What can our family give? What can I do to help our church expand its borders to be healthy and strong in the future? What can I do so that we can go into new territory, so that we can reach more people for Christ? What can I do? Since we started this annual offering 30 years ago, we've seen people get incredibly creative, raise their levels of generosity. Some people have asked others to sponsor them as they rode bikes or ran in marathons. Some people, in fact, our children every year, they collect coins. You may or may not realize that. And they bring their bottles full of coins. And youth have cleaned up yards. Young people have said, hey, I'll babysit. I want to be a part. I want to get some offering together. I remember one man sold a vintage car one year of his that he owned, and then he brought the offering from the sale of the car. One couple sold a piece of property. It's just like creative, innovative, generous acts for the future of the kingdom of God and the house of God. People have cashed in some of their insurance policies. Said, you know, that's a little more than I think I need, and I'm going to do this right now, and boom. So lots of creativity, and that's really what we want. We're not here to tell people, like, how or what. The envelopes is not about the envelopes. It's about how do we all get on the same page and look at one goal together in a way that is not overly intrusive, because that's the last thing I want to do is try to tell you, you know, you got to do this and you ought to do that. That's not what this is about. It's about stirring up generosity. It's about everybody thinking and praying and pondering. People, just together, husbands, wives, because giving can be so robotic. If you're not careful, especially if you've given over time, that no thought or heart or passion, no asking God, how do I do a daring thing here? How do I go all in? What's all in look like now? It doesn't look the same as it did when I was, 16 years old and barely had a job. So what does it look like, God, now that you've blessed me? What do I do at this season? What is generosity? And that's the goal, is to get people looking at envelopes and getting, I could do this and we could do that. And then you stir that up inside of you. And you start to think outside the box and you get creative. And it's so much fun when people come together and share a vision together to do everything that we can do individually so that collectively we can do something big for God. And I wanted to say this weekend that I don't know how many envelopes are out. I know we were over halfway there last I checked, but and they're going out every service. And if you haven't got an envelope, I hope you'll get one on your way out of services this weekend. However, if you prefer, you can text what you plan to give, and one of our team will take down that amount of envelopes for you. Because what we're doing, again, is we're going and looking at the envelopes. And we're going, this is our Sand and Stars vision as a church. So if you're not comfortable like going and take, and if somebody's here like, I don't want to do envelope, and I ain't going to text, I'm just going to bring my offering. God bless you. Thank you for bringing an offering. No, really, that's how we feel. Like it's not about any of that. And sometimes when you bring a plan, there are people who are like, well, I'm not, okay, cool. Like give, do what you're going to do. Our goal is to be a team right now. and to say, well, here's an opportunity for us to all go after something like that's within our reach, and to do it in a way where as we go along here, we can kind of see the mountain going down. We can see the target being reached. We can say we're this far along and hey, we're doing good. And wow, let's pray for this. Let's hope for that. Let's believe God. And that's what it's all about. So the offering is going to 5 different areas this year. And this is kind of typical, but the big one is our campus expansion, which in this case, this year, is DuPont. Okay? So that is the big one. That's the reason we went after $1 million this year is a new campus for us looks a lot like at least a $500,000 investment. So to build out that DuPont and get classrooms ready and get auditoriums ready and get screens set up and technology going so we can all communicate and create a house of worship, give or take a little bit, that's the dollar amount. And our giving really will drive how much we're able to do. And can we do every classroom? I don't know. Can we set it up and be ready on that timetable? I'm not sure. Because we also are going to give to our foundation. Holidays are on the way. We like to make holidays better in our community for children by giving out gifts, by giving a lift to single parents, by getting out into our community with generosity. So this offering is going to help fuel what the foundation does all around our city in the holiday season. We're going to be fueling our children's centers and our youth centers and all that we do, our media, our technology. We have carpet tearing in some places. We have doorknobs that are broken. Can you imagine? I'm just kind of telling you today. And hopefully, I know people like to know when you give, where's it going? And I want to help you understand that when you give, 100% of it is what you see right there. That's where your offering is going this year. All right? So whatever you do, don't miss next weekend because this is a big, big, big deal for us as a church. A big, 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 don't miss. Well, I don't know how much I can give. Come anyway. It's really not. You just do your part. Come and celebrate. Pray over what we're doing. By the way, we're going to hear from some of your favorite, our favorite, preachers, speakers, communicators next weekend in our services at the giving party. They've got things they want to say to us. So some of your favorite are going to show up in the services next weekend. We're going to be praying together over our city, our businesses, our church, our Sand and Stars, all that we, next weekend. So it's going to be an exciting time, and it actually will kick off, I love this, with the new dates. It'll kick off the holiday season and the spirit of generosity that's just going to move us straight through the next 6 or 8 weeks here at Champion Center. If you absolutely cannot make it, make sure you attend our online campus. Like if you're out of town or whatever, because it's going to be an exciting history-making weekend at Champion Center, and I can't wait, and you don't want to miss out. I'm asking everybody, show up. Let's show up strong in favor of progress for the house of God. Cast your vote by being here in the house next weekend. Amen? Okay, so I want to finish. I'm not going to finish with the point that I had necessarily. I'm going to kind of mess up the team right now by doing it this way. I'm going to make up my last point on the fly right here. They like to have it so it can go up on the graphics, all right? But I'm just going to make up what I really want to end with. Is that okay? Is that okay? You're the 11:30 service, so I get to kind of, you know, figure out what I did in the other two and what I want to do now. So here's what I want to do, all right? I want to say this to you. Never underestimate what can happen when you go all in and decide not to play it safe. Never underestimate what can happen, what God can do on the other side of your boldness and your courage and your faith. I love the story of Warby Parker. I'm wearing Warby Parker glasses right now. It all started in 2008 with four college students. One of them lost their glasses in a backpack trip and needed to see for classes and all of that. And he lost his glasses, so he's like, what am I gonna do? And he's talking to three other friends. And man, to get the glasses, it costs more than I have. Secondly, to get them by in the next few days is almost, they tell me 2 weeks before I can get, at least 2 weeks, I get another pair of glasses. Why don't we have glasses? These are young mine. Why don't we have glasses that we can buy online? By 2010, these four young guys opened up their own online company that's called Warby Parker. By 2015, a lot of people would have said, nobody wants glasses online, nobody can do it. But by 2015, their vision turned into a $1 billion company. 5 years, $1 billion company because of their vision. They dare to dream, right? They dare to dream. So how much more as a church should we and God's people in our lives, in our businesses, in our future, just solicit the passion and the opportunity for God to birth things in us and through us, to be big thinking, faith living, and yes, sometimes risk taking people. I'm gonna finish with this story. Because you never know what God can do. Like, you never know what God, you remember how I began today with the Abraham is told by God, put your son Isaac, your dream, on the altar, like? You remember that? That's where I started. Well, he didn't know what was gonna happen after that. He just obeyed. But if you keep going forward, as he's in the process of doing that, God interrupts and says, no, actually, I don't want Isaac. I wanted your heart. I wanted to see your motives. I wanted to see where you were with me. And then it says, right in that same chapter, basically, sand and stars is still in your future. Okay? So the attitude of surrendering what he had that day was the gateway. It was one of the gateways to getting into many sons and daughters in his future. But he didn't know that. That's a crazy thing. So one of our young couples who are on our lead team in Bellevue right now, name is Jake and Teresa Sutherland. Jake in 2000 was a single young guy, and I announced that we want to build a place for our children and youth at our Tacoma campus, 40,000 square feet. Will everybody help me? And we started this same process that we're in right now, right? So Jake's like single, young, like, what am I gonna do? He gets an idea. Okay, I'm gonna run from the Space Needle all the way to the Tacoma campus, and I'm gonna ask my friends and my family to sponsor me per mile. And I'm gonna see how much money I can raise, because I wanna give to the vision of the house. Jake did that. I don't think he ran all the way. Don't tell him I think that, but. 39, he made it, he made it 39 miles. Now, here's the rest of the story. You're doing that, and you're running, and you're just doing it. You're laying it out there. You're like, man, I'm up for whatever God has. Like, I'm gonna give it my best. He's running, all right, for 39 miles with a vision in his heart to be a blessing. Now, here's the rest of the story. He didn't know that he was gonna meet and propose to his wife in that building. Literally gonna propose to Teresa in the 40,000 square feet building that did not exist when he was running. He did not know at that point that he would have children that would attend their classes in the Tacoma building, that they would be brought in and taught. And that would be their, he didn't know that. He didn't know that his sister would attend CR in that building. celebrate recovery and would find freedom and find hope for her future. So this is why we dream big. This is why we pray big. This is why we give big. You don't know. I love Danny and Jordan's story, because here's what I want to say. Thank you, Tacoma. Thank you, everyone who was here when we had a vision for Bellevue. Thank you. I hope you're feeling rewarded today by hearing their story. God moves them to Seattle. They want to live in the Bellevue area. They Google, and there's a Champion Center. And you heard them today. That wasn't planned. I didn't even watch their interview till last night, right before service. Like, I had no idea what they were going to say, but that's out of their heart. They're saying, like, this is where we belong. Like, thank you. Thank you. God brought us here. And I've never felt this way before. My children are going to be raised in this house. Because somebody had the boldness and the courage to just obey God and to say, God's got a future. That we don't know every person, we don't know every name, we don't know how lives are going to be changed. I don't know what all is going to happen, but I'm going to step out here by faith, and I'm going to obey God. I'm going to be a part. I'm going to give. So thank you to everybody right now. Thank you, church, for being so generous. Come on, thank you for being so generous. We have such a great and generous church. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for having big vision. Come on, thank you for praying big prayer.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give, or go to cc.church/give. Thanks, and have a great week.